You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day and another week. So with me, with the 5 o'clock shadow, is Greg Davies, chief trader at Kratos Capital. Greg, I think it's been quite a big week, actually. We've had the Anglo-American stable coming up with its results, you know, the various components. Anglo-American PLC was the big one, obviously, the parent company. We've had Kumba Iron Ore, Anglo-American Platinum. There's been trading updates from Sasol. We've spoken about them in exhausting detail, actually, last night with David Shapiro, which was really, really good fun. A 44-minute interview, which is a record for me. And, yeah, I think that hasn't defined the JSE for the rest of the year, but it's certainly set out its stall, if you like.
Yeah, it's been a really busy week. Obviously, the news flow, the market hasn't traded that well. You sometimes just want to go home on a Friday and pull the duvet over your head and say, let me just take a break from the market for 2 days, think about things. But the underlying feeling is quite negative. Market finishing small amount down today, but some stocks sort of breaking through levels. And David and I were speaking about Sasol, and it's just been a rough week for even the blue chips have been knocked back again. But people's confidence in the stock market in South Africa feels like it's really starting to wane now.
What do you think about the divestment or potential divestment or disinvestment by the Indian fellow who owns 20% of Anglo-American PLC? Because obviously that's not something that you can sort of say, well, I'm just going to sell 20% and let me ease it into the market. I'll phone Greg Davies from Kratos Capital and he can do it for me. There's obviously got to be some kind of process here.
Yes, I mean, it's quite a surprise. There's no mention of that. This morning, a SENS announcement saying that those shares had all been placed in a book build in London. And obviously, it's not positive news for the market when someone who's a 20% shareholder decides overnight to sell his stake, even after a really good set of numbers. The share finished down 3.3%, 369 rand. So there's just no other way to debate it. Some of the guys in the office were debating it, and I was adamant that there's no ways you can see this as a positive. They're saying it's sort of been passed on to much stronger hands, and you want a diversified shareholder base. So some guys trying to sort of put a positive spin on it.
Well, there's also, I suppose, you can have a look at the Impala Platinum $250 million bond, not rejigging, but refinancing that we saw earlier in the week, or maybe even at the end of last week. And everyone said, well, this is very, very negative because they're doing this and they're doing that and it's financial engineering. But in fact, what it turned out to be was actually a clever move from their treasury department and the share price going down 4 or 5% and then closing at recent highs.
Yeah, it was a very good example of sometimes short-term people misreading. Shares were going to be issued. Market made assumptions that those shares will be aggressively sold into the market. And the share price initially moved lower. Fast forward to yesterday afternoon, Impala was up at 79 rand. That's 12-month highs. It has pulled back from those levels, around 74.25 at the moment. But still a very good performance coming off the back of that news. And people dissect into that deal, more and more clear that Impala have got a very good game plan ahead, reducing debt. They're seeing their share price increasing, and they're using that to deleverage themselves.
Greg, the feature of the day to me and the end of the week, and may set the tone for next week as well, and maybe the rest of the year, funnily enough, is the Rand, which was below 1380 three trading days ago, now 1429 against the US dollar, a 1.4% fall. This is quite big. Rand opposer, I'm calling it.
Yes, that's really been the thing. It's really, really just accelerated the weakness here. It all started with Moody's coming out, telling us the Eskom bailout was credit negative. I think that gave a couple of Rand bears just the medicine they needed to accelerate. And then the Rand's notoriously volatile, but, you know, from Thursday morning, 1388 to 1427 by Friday afternoon, it's a huge move. And
it's
also sort of
move.
Psychologically saying, feels like 1450 is doable in a day or two.
We speak every day. We speak twice a day, actually, and we're becoming far too close when it comes to the markets, Greg. But if you had been away for 2 or 3 months and you only looked at the markets every 2 or 3 months, you said to yourself, well, here's the Eskom situation. The government's giving it another 59 billion. The government's giving SABC 3.9 billion. It's 335 billion in debt anyway. What would you think the Rand should be? You'd probably say to yourself, well, it should probably be 16, 17 against the US dollar. Oh, actually, it's 1388. What would you do? You'd sell it, wouldn't you? And then go away, go on holiday to Ibiza or something for the summer, and then come back.
Yeah. We had a very good fund manager actually come and give us a talk and sort of explain how the fundamentals have really changed. But because There's so much money. He was giving a figure of $13 trillion, which is either earning negative interest or no interest at all because of the way the bond markets are, especially in Europe.
Yeah.
That money's got to find a place to find a yield, and it'll come to South Africa where there's 8% on government bonds. And that's the only reason why I think the rand isn't 20, because, and his point was, and I think I said this, and I hate to repeat myself, but people are buying things they wouldn't normally buy or they don't like just to try and get a yield. And I think that's what's cool. You know, it's a precarious situation, but that's the only reason why I think the rand has stayed as strong as it has for so long.
I think I saw that the German 2-year, or was it the 10-year yield? I think it was the 2-year yield. The German 2-year bond was minus 0.42%. So in other words, you pay the German government to keep your money under the mattress.
Yes, and I mean, if you think about, you sit back and think about that, I mean, it just seems like the stupidest idea ever. Who would ever allow that? But that's the market that we've had to live with at the moment with these interest rates. You're paying someone to just warehouse your money for you. It's unthinkable even 5 years ago.
Indeed. So what you're saying is if there weren't negative yields in maybe 7 or 8 different European countries, really top AAA blue chip bonds, then South African bonds, rather the South African rand would be weaker because this is the only place where you can find some yield.
Yes. Simple terms, they call it the carry trade. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Might carry us out one day, yeah.
Yeah, very good. Greg, let's have a look at the spot markets. Just talk amongst yourself for a moment while I get the spots, because let's give us that as a backdrop to what we're going to say, spot prices, because I was going to give you that rand first of all. Here we go. Dollar rand is 14.28. The dollar rand 14.28 was 13.85 3 days ago. British pound against the rand 17.70, and the euro rand is 15.88, with the euro dollar 1.11.20. Again, movement to the downside for the euro, movement to the upside for the mighty dollar by about 0.2%. What has that done to the gold price? Well, perversely, it's gone up by $5 to $14.19 an ounce. Platinum is 8.62, which is down 6. And palladium, Greg, what is it?
Yeah, we're down $1.50 at $15.29,
and the Brent crude oil price $63.33, which is up 8 cents per barrel. Overseas stock markets, the live prices, please.
Yeah, at the moment the Dow Jones recovering from a little sell off yesterday. Late into the trade yesterday, got sold off down about 170 points. Back up 23 points at the moment. The FTSE in London up 55. Did briefly speak about the DAX yesterday because it had been knocked back so badly, recovering 54 points. Let me scroll down to my S&P. That's up at the moment, up 13%. NASDAQ up about 78 points. I mean, in all the sell-off, the one feature has been, NASDAQ has been relatively strong. It's only up 0.5% today, but the rest of the market really looking really weak. And the banks, the financials, the retailers, some of these stocks, I mean, something like Discovery, 129.50 rand, no real news, down 3.5% today.
Wow, we'll come to that in a moment.
I'm running ahead.
Yeah, no, give us that history. 129.50, you say. I can remember you telling me, I think it was just a couple of weeks ago, it was 150. What's been happening to that thing?
It had a range where you should normally sort of buy it at 141, 142, and you would sell it at 150. Then it had that run into the 155 sort of mysteriously. I'm wondering if it's not something to do. There's been quite a lot of headlines this week about the NHI, where the government are going to sort of almost make a similar scheme to Discovery, where, you know, well, effectively the taxpayers will be funding it and people will get free medical care. But I'm just looking back, it wasn't even that long ago. Give you the exact dates here.
We've got Eskom, we've got SABC, we've got South African Airways, and now NHI as well. I mean, you think they can afford this, do you? It's not going to happen.
No, we know they can't afford it. That doesn't seem to ever stop anybody. The 20th of June, Discovery was trading at 155 rand a share.
Yeah.
So all the way back to 129.50. And a lot of this work was all done today on the Dow. So it broke through some big, big levels today. You know, especially hedge fund guys started buying at sort of beginning of the week and saying, you know, come on, Digger, I'm sure we can find the bottom here. And a bit of a shock on a Friday afternoon to see it sold off. It did feel like in the closing auction today, there was somebody who was getting out big blocks of shares. thinking, I don't want to be in this, or I want to be slightly lighter in the JSE over the weekend, or whichever. It did feel like some kind of forced selling towards the end of the day.
Was there anything on Stock Exchange News Service today? Because I've been looking at PSG Group, results of the annual general meeting, Famous Brands annual general meeting, but I can't really see anything of any substance. Anything you saw there?
I did know that. I think Hammerson's was due to report today. It looks like that didn't come. It's more a case of what wasn't there. We're still waiting for ShopRite and Massmart's trading updates. I'm looking through. It all looks like housekeeping, really. There's nothing really big.
Okay, let's have a look at the top five up and down. Let's start with the upside, because you've given us a little bit of bad news, which is a little bit depressing as well when it comes to Discovery, and that's in the bottom five. We'll come to that in a moment. But on the upside, Greg, Richemont up 2.9%, Capco up 2.2%, Renet 1.6% higher, Bidcorp 1.5% to the good, and South 32 1.4% up there. Richemont, quite nice. Maybe sort of hanging on to the coattails of Louis Vuitton Moët Hennessy yesterday, which had some really, really good numbers in Europe.
Yes, and also the weakening of the rand is obviously helping investors point them in the direction of these type of stocks with big earnings offshore. So this is the best performance for Richemont for quite a while. I wouldn't be surprised. Top of my head, it's probably, I'm looking back, the middle of 18, it was last time it was around about this price. She made a high run, 129, finished today, 124.85. Also on very big volume, value of trade there today, 687 million. Mm. But just in the closing auction, 1.6 million shares, that's 209 million rand. So some big volume going through that one.
On the downside, RMH and Momet. We have to change that Momet thing, don't we? We have to go and speak to the people at ShareNet. We can't have Momet.
It's an odd abbreviation.
Yeah, Momentum and Metropolitan. But that was down 3.5%. RMH down 3.6%, both in the same sort of sphere. Anglo American, we've spoken about that, 3.3% weaker. Discovery, 3.3% down as well. And Reunert down 2.75%. Yeah, the Discovery story is disturbing because you sort of get used to a certain price for a stock, just like you got used to 350 with Sasol, and suddenly you turn around and wait a second, it's 20-30 rand weaker.
Yeah, and it's going back to levels we haven't seen for a long time. It's not, generally when these type of stocks fall, they fall in line with all the other stocks, in their financial space or what have you. This just seems to be going on its own sort of own momentum. I'm looking back when last it traded as low as this level. What's that date there? Yeah, that sort of July of 2017. So that was obviously before Mr. Ramaphosa got relatively into power, if you can call it that, with what he's doing. Yeah. But obviously then the Ramaphosa took the share price all the way up to 184. So all the way back to 129.50. They've given up sort of 18 months of hard work, all for naught at this point.
Article, Greg, sorry to interrupt you. Where did I see that article that said that as soon as a company gets a really fancy new set of offices in Santa, then that's usually the death knell of the thing, because Discovery's been like that. Do you remember when Nedbank got that huge set of offices near Village Walk, and then the share price fell on its head? It's almost as though Discovery's got the same thing, because they've got a very, very smart set of facilities
there. There was quite a few guys pointing that out, and I think it's been a phenomenon overseas as well, when these big corporates build these beautiful offices. And I must say, that Discovery building, I drive past it and on the way home every day and on the way to work.
Well, you fund it, don't you? You pay them about 7 grand a month.
I think overall I'm doing better on the deal than they are, because I've been quite sickly of late.
Yeah, you're a hypochondriac, I know. But I mean, the point is that there are people like you that are paying, well, not people like you, there are people that are paying the same amount as you, but aren't hypochondriacs like you are, so they don't get everything back from Discovery. I heard that Discovery pays 23 million per month for that.
Correct. Yes. It wasn't an article. They'll probably argue that they're getting a bargain for a building like that.
Please.
I think it's owned by Growthpoint, and obviously it's got a million-year lease and all of that.
Yeah. Okay. Greg, give us the closing indexes, please.
Sure. Pull your drinks close. It's quite scary.
Okay, cool.
Banks down 1.25%. Financials down 1.25%. Industrials down 1.5%. Retailers down 1.2%. Gold index not even helping us today, down 0.6. Mm-hmm. Platts up a third, and then resources down 0.35. So it's not a huge number down on the all-share, down 0.16%, down 92 points to 57,571. But I think when people are feeling the pain of those banks and financials, which have, you know, normally the go-to to buy on any of these dips, and they just haven't rallied, just carry on dipping. Value of trade, 15.3, beg your pardon.
Which is very pathetic, actually. But, Greg, let's have a look at the weekend sport, South Africa, New Zealand. Give us your expert opinion on that one.
Well, I think Rusty Erasmus is a brilliant coach. And I think what he did last weekend, I think he sent some of the Springboks, what you would call his A team, over to New Zealand to acclimatise. And he kept his B team here, which he managed to beat Australia with at Ellis Park. So I think we might give these All Blacks a little test tomorrow. The kickoff in South Africa is 9:30. I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, me too. I was just having a look at England versus Ireland in the cricket, by the way. England, on the first day of this test at Lord's, and it's Ireland's third ever test match, bowled England out for 85. And then they made 207, so they're looking pretty good. They're 120.
I saw a headline. I thought it's got to be a printing error. Yeah,
122 runs ahead. I mean, Ireland, for goodness sake. Love the Irish, but they're not great at cricket. Then England made 303 in the second innings, so they're obviously leading. And Ireland needed 182 to win, and they were all out for 38.
Oh, I saw that. No,
38.
Wow. I mean, yeah. Well, I mean, it's it's probably a proper complete mismatch. But that's the crazy thing about cricket. You can win a toss and you can win the whole series.
Greg Davies is the chief trader at Kratos Capital. That was the 5 o'clock shadow. We'll speak again on Monday morning for the opening. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox.